A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're speaking with Lewis Moses about how to navigate the festive period as a runner.
Easy.
Go on, Ben, solve it.
Just don't bother, eat some Toblerone, have a lovely time.
Well, I like that. Rest is important.
No, I mean, the most flippant of all comments. But I mean, we're getting to it nicely with Lewis, but I'm sort of do what you can when you can kind of
maximising rest over the festive period.
Oh, mate, it's the most important thing. You've got to recalibrate before the start of the new year. It's very downtime is crucial. And I think Christmas is, that's what it's for. I'll go running, but, you know, there absolutely won't be any sort of like hard and fast about it.
But I sense, Jane, that it may be more difficult for you to adopt that attitude.
Yeah, I think anyone who's met me will know I find it hard to relax. So the thought of, I always go back to my parents, so the thought of, you know, being in Essex and not running for a long time makes me want to cry, actually, Rick. So you will definitely see me out there running around.
Yeah.
I won't say where, in case we have any weird listeners, but, you know, you'll find me running around. Because otherwise I would get really stressed and ruin Christmas for everyone in the house.
Yes, that is fair, to be fair. Yeah, and I mean, I think that, like, if you're travelling somewhere that's, like, I'll be going back to my mum and dad's probably, and that means there's some nice trails. So I know that I will go running, because I know that the location change will make me want to go running. But I don't think I'll be going out. I'm not like are you a Christmas Day runner? I'm not really.
Yeah.
I'd like to. I think it's not. I don't think it's going to be that practical at the minute. But yeah,
I
like the idea of getting out of a house early on Christmas Day, because it can be quite claustrophobic, can't it? You're just kind of inside all day. I think it's nice to get outside a little bit.
There's no way. The boys, I'm not getting out of the house with two children going insane about Christmas. There's no way.
Some years, the Maguire family, not my mum, but we go for a little Christmas Day run together. We're like that meme that people like. Imagine marrying one of those families that runs on Christmas Day. It's me. Not that I'm married, but you know.
There you go.
That's it.
But I have done a few races. I've done the Knacker Cracker on, that's New Year's Day. So that's like, you've got to you sort of rein yourself in a little bit on New Year's Eve. I quite like a sort of festive race, but they do kind
that
of,
is good.
They kind of get in the, I guess it, I don't know. It can be a bit of a
stress. Depends what you want. I guess it depends what sort of floats your boat, really. Mm. If you want to race during Christmas, then go all guns. I'm just sort of that. I just don't want anything to stop or influence me enjoying Christmas to its fullest.
Yeah, I guess as well it depends on your family a bit, because like I come from quite a fitness family where if I said, I'm just going to go out for an hour to go for a run, it'd be like, cool, see you then. Whereas I imagine not all families are like that, and it would be like, what? Like, we're having lunch or da-da-da-da.
I don't know. If you're a runner, though, I'm pretty sure everyone is aware that you're a runner, because you've told them. So
they'll probably be told. But I guess if you're staying with in-laws or something, and they're like,
true.
Oh, what are you doing? Why are you going out now? This, again, isn't a reflection on my situation. Yeah. But like, people might find it weird.
Yeah,
it's snowing. Why are you going out running?
Yeah, like, oh, what do you mean? We've just put the fire on. Why? I don't know. Maybe people find it harder to get out there. I think that's another thing, isn't it? Like, I enjoy Christmas because I don't have to work and I don't have to fit in all the other things I have to fit in my life. So I've got the day to just walk the dog and go for a run and then obviously see my family. But like, for you guys have got kids, I imagine they don't let you do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, that's true. It becomes a bit more manic as a day, I would say.
I can put one in the running buggy and that'll be all right. So I could get him out of the house. But yeah, it's not.
Maybe when they have their little sugar crash at like probably like 11 a.m. because you'll be up at 4, won't you? So.
Well, they are, they're both dedicated watchers of the Queen's speech, so that gives me a chance to get out. And they're both, they're very strong royalists. So no, I mean, no, it's not happening really. But I'm, again, fine by me.
What about boozing? Obviously, that's something a lot of that
yes,
kind
please.
Of ratchets up a bit over Christmas. When have you ever done the kind of thing of like, oh, I drank heavily last night, I need to go and put, I need to, that, therefore I need to run quite hard and try and create some kind of equilibrium? Because I feel like that can be a bit of a dangerous spiral for people.
I haven't done this, but my brother does this every single Christmas day. He'll go out really late, normally in Leytonstone, so look out for him, on Christmas Eve, and then he'll absolutely power like a manic workout on Christmas Day and then be okay. But I'm not like that. I think if I drank as much as him, you wouldn't see me on Christmas Day. I definitely wouldn't be running. But people use it as a hangover cure, don't they?
I've always done that, but Christmas aside, if I was hungover, I would probably try and go for a run because it made me feel better. And that was simply it. Like, I would just, so I guess over Christmas, the same rules apply. But no, I think, again, I would fall into the crowd of people who go, wow, it's Christmas. So if I've got a hangover, then so be it. And I don't think I'll go for a run. I'll probably just deal with it. And then, but yeah, I've always, but it was never hard. I'd never go out for a big, like, try and smash myself to pieces after with a hangover. I just, if it's cold and you're hungover and you can get out and it's sort of like a bit bracing and you can kind of move a bit, that feels all right. I quite like that. That kind of like wakes you out of your grogginess. But I'm not trying to sort of like set a PB or anything insane like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. I mean, there can be a temptation to sort of a slight kind of punishing of oneself that can go
on. No. It's all a support system. That's the best way. That's, you know, if you're hungover, then do a run that supports that hangover. You're not trying to kill yourself. And then you can get back and have a nice mulled something, just, you know, as a recovery beverage.
Mull it over, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should probably get our guest on. What do you think?
Yes.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
So today we're talking with founder of New Levels Coaching, running coach Lewis Moses, about how to navigate the festive period. Lewis, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Thank you for having me.
For anyone who has listened, Lewis has had the joy and maybe not joy of being my coach for a few years. And I thought we'd chat today because I know Christmas is coming, and people kind of get a bit panicky, don't they, about how to train, what to eat, what to do over the Christmas period. So what kind of advice do you normally give athletes in terms of training over Christmas?
It's a really good point, Jane, because everybody has different priorities over Christmas. Some people have races over the Christmas period. There's very popular races on New Year's Eve, for example. So some people want to almost say that they want to stay in shape over the festive period. But then people tend to get worried about festive activities they're going to do, what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink. And the biggest thing I find is people just don't want to take a day off. It's a real challenge we have when we coach runners of any ability, is that it's almost more of a mental challenge to get them to take a day off than it is to get them out of the door. So it's a really tricky period to navigate, but I try to work with athletes and work with what works best with them. So you look at it individually. Some people want to train on Christmas Day. It's part of their routine. Some people love to go to park run on Christmas Day, and that's a great thing. But some people want to just rest, and I just think you should do ultimately what you want to do, and you shouldn't feel guilty for taking any time off, because it's all about consistency from a coaching perspective. You shouldn't just be trying to cram things in or trying to impress people on social media just to say you've run on Christmas Day. You know, we always see those posts online. So do what ultimately is right for you and what you feel most comfortable with.
I think that's really good advice, Liz. Yeah. Do you think there's anything wrong then with, say someone was like, you know what, it's just too big a stress trying to fit running in around like cooking the turkey or whatever. I need to take 2 weeks. I'm going to take 2 weeks off. Do you think there's anything wrong with taking 2 weeks off? Is it we actually see
that turkey's
kind of...
going to be so overdone? Slow cooker.
Very slow.
Very
cook.
Slow
yeah.
cook.
Yeah. Would you see any, like, if if you're a runner and you don't run for 2 weeks, is that an issue? Would you come out of that a lot less fit? Do you think or not?
There's a little bit of research to suggest that 10 days off aerobic activity doesn't make any difference. You don't make much gains in that time, but you don't actually go backwards. You know, you think of it as sometimes when you've had a cold in the past and you've had to take some time off, quite often you come out of it the other side and you feel fresh and you feel good. I think one of the biggest mistakes runners often make, particularly after hard training periods or particularly after a big race such as a marathon, is they don't take enough time off the back of that. And everyone is reluctant to take some time, but as we know with any training, and particularly when you're hard training, you need to have a certain amount of rest and recovery in there to get the training adaptations that we're looking for. So yeah, it might not be ideal to have the full 2 weeks off, but also I don't think you should be scared to take some time off, no matter how that fits. A lot of people go on holiday as well, and for the first time a lot of people are going to places skiing. That's been off the agenda for a long time. And people are worried, saying, I can't get out whilst I'm skiing, I'm going for a week or 2 weeks. Don't worry, there's some cross-training benefits in there to skiing. Go and have some fun. You know, if you can get out on the slopes, keep yourself fit in that way and pick training up when you get back. But I don't think people should obsess about it too much.
I think the big hurdle for a lot of people, certainly myself, is that when you get... It's that mix of like your eating habits and your drinking habits change quite dramatically during a festive period, and you kind of almost feel compelled to try and offset the damage you're doing by running some more or doing something like that. Is that, you know, I mean, not necessarily your area of expertise, I say, but from a nutritional point of view, is, you know, the change of habits over Christmas, does that make a massive difference to anyone particularly?
I think it's like any other time of the year. It's interesting how our mindset shifts, isn't it? When it comes to Christmas, we all of a sudden associate kind of bad foods and treating ourselves. But at any other time of the year, we never really seem to have a problem with treating. And we'll quite often pick up a dessert without thinking about it. But you look at, you know, the general food that you have over Christmas, it's pretty good. Like, you know, there's lots of veg on people's plates, hopefully. You know, there's people have smoked salmon on Christmas Day morning, and generally they're getting good fuel into themselves. So I think people tend to look at it from a negative standpoint and think, oh, I'm going to be eating all this chocolate and going to be filling my boots. And that's absolutely fine as well, because we're allowed treats. And I think the key message from my perspective as a coach is it's always about balance and moderation. You know, you want to be able to reward yourself. If you're going to go out and train hard on Christmas Eve, for example, then surely you can look forward to your Christmas dinner and a bit of chocolate as a bit of a reward for that. And I wouldn't ever say to people, you know, go absolutely crazy. But at the same time, it's a time of year that's there to be enjoyed with family and friends. And for me, happy and healthy runners are the best runners always.
And how do you think, like, obviously, this probably doesn't apply to Rick and Ben because they've got kids, and I imagine that kind of ruins the whole like Christmas morning run. But how do you stop how do you stop people overtraining? Because like for me, Christmas, I get to go home to my parents, they'll look after the dog, and I can just go out and do what I want, which I don't get to do in my day-to-day life. But obviously for parents, that's different. But how do you stop people overtraining? And what should a training plan kind of look like over Christmas?
It's a really good point, because all of a sudden you find people have time off work as well. So it's almost like they want to train more because they've got more time. And quite often that can be quite damaging, because you start doing things that you've never done before, and people, you know, even going out for a walk with a family on Boxing Day or something like that, and then people are then trying to cram a run in or even two runs. And you might already be quite fatigued and tired from all the emotions of Christmas Day, particularly if you've got children. So again, for me, it comes back to don't change too much. You know, you don't want to start putting things in that you've never put in there before. Don't worry about what other people are doing is one of the biggest bits of advice I would give. People so busy looking on Strava. And there's that famous quote from Seb Coe and Steve Yvette from years ago, Seb Coe talks about going out twice on Christmas Day because he was worried about Steve Yvette going out twice on Christmas Day. And years later, you know, Steve Yvette said to him, oh, you only went out twice on Christmas Day, with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek to say, yeah, I probably went out three times that day. But we can become obsessed with what other people are doing. And often not look at what's best for us. And over a 7-day period, particularly, you know, Christmas falls on a Saturday this year, which I quite like. But people will be looking at Christmas and New Year's Saturday to Saturday in that 7-day period, and they'll try and cram absolutely everything in to that 7-day cycle. Whereas actually, why not just spread it out a little bit? Why not give yourself, you know, 10 or 11 days rather than try and fit two long runs in? Why not just fit one in and piece it together a little bit differently? So rather than trying to stick to your training plan so rigidly or try and get more in, why not be a little bit more flexible? Because again, you've got to be happy, you've got to be healthy, and consistency always beats a one-off 7-day cycle.
For sure.
This is sort of linked to that, Lewis, but is there also a danger of people coming out of the kind of Christmas and New Year period and thinking, and then kind of starting to flog themselves a bit and thinking, you know what, like I went back a couple of steps over Christmas, like I need to get on this now, and maybe again do a little bit too much too soon,
particularly with marathons coming up in the spring.
We find that
every single year, you know, January the 1st comes round and people, new year new me, I'm on it from January the 1st. And I would challenge anybody listening to this, if there are people listening to this, of course, like, why not start now? Why not put those things in place now? Because it's not a new you, it's just the same you. You're just upgrading yourself, you're just looking to improve. But the best improvements come over a period of time, not in a short space of time. And quite often, if we look for very quick gains and we do things like running challenges in January, or we try and do too much at once, that often leads to injuries in the future, which then put us in a worse place than where we first started. So I think you've got to be really careful not to just throw everything in there at once.
I mean, there's a lot to be said for just embracing the time off, right? Because if you've got marathon coming up in the spring and you've got like a whole set training plan ahead of you with some heavy work to come, then really sit back and just like take time out before, because that everyone knows that the training period, when you get into it, it actually is all consuming and that it ends up sort of being the main focus of your time. So kind of switch off a bit from running and maybe not take it so seriously.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot to be said for that, even from like a mindset and training perspective. Again, going back to the fact, I believe it's mentally more challenging for an athlete to take a day off. So why not challenge yourself mentally in that way instead of just going out the door? But also, I think perspective is often a big thing. You know, if you're getting really uptight and stressed about going for a run or a training session, and all your family and friends are there and they're hoping you're going to stay with them, and you're starting to get, like I say, a little bit upbeat about that, then why not just take that day off, enjoy the time with your family and friends, and again, challenge yourself to almost get a little bit uncomfortable with not going out running, because there's a lot more to running than just racing and fast times. And quite often, I think over the festive period, you can sit back and have a little bit of perspective. Even when I was, you know, an elite athlete, I did like to go home, spend time with the family, have a little bit of a drink with family and friends, because, you know, especially last year with COVID, it's not often, you know, not every year we get to do that now. So you've got to make the most of that time you have with those people as well. And sometimes that's not just going out for your run on your own, putting the world right in your head.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And I think talking of COVID, obviously it's still here, isn't it? And I think that's one of the things I'm worried about, that as we kind of go out more over Christmas, what if I get COVID and I can't go out for a run? And that's, I think, Lewis, you know, it's always been my biggest fear during the whole pandemic. But for people that can't run over Christmas, whether it's injury, whether they do get COVID, how do you cope with that? Because obviously I find the minute I kind of eat differently, I'm out of my normal eating pattern. If I can't run, that really, I feel awful about it. So what kind of tips would you give? I know you've given me loads, but what kind of tips would you give listeners to kind of cope with that mental battle, I guess?
I think focusing on what you can do as opposed to what you can't do. So if you go back to the original lockdown, we were told, you know, you could only exercise once per day, for example, outside. And particularly for elite athletes who train two or three times a day, it was like, whoa, what do I do? What do I do? And I just think you should always focus on what you can do. What do you have access to? So a few of our athletes who we work with at the minute, unfortunately, have COVID. So it's looking at, can they get access to maybe a spin bike, or some of them have a Peloton at home in the house, so they could maybe cross train. If they've not got access to that, could they do some strength sessions? Could they go online, have a look at certain workouts that they could be doing? But again, you know, maybe it's time to then say, okay, I can't get out and do everything that I usually going to see. I'm going to spend time with the family and I'm going to relax.
Oh, no.
And have some
don't
want to.
Oh, no.
I don't want to do that.
Get me out. Joking. I'm joking if my brother is listening.
But yeah, don't be afraid to think a little bit differently, I guess, is what I would say to people. We think that running is the only type of fitness sometimes, and we quite often neglect all the things that are good for us as well, like the strength and conditioning bits that you should be doing from home, which we never do as runners, and we just leave to the last minute. So actually maybe see that as a chance to get those things in. And as I used to say to you, Jane, you know, your heart and lungs don't know what training you're doing sometimes. If the heart rate is up and you're getting that heart rate up and it's pumping blood around the body and the lungs are working hard, then the heart and lungs have no idea that you're not out for a run. So maybe look at inventive ways of doing that.
What if you've got a race, Lewis? Because as you kind of alluded to at the start, there are some good races over the festive period, and there are sort of New Year's Day races as well. What would your advice be if you've actually one of these foolhardy people who's actually got, like, you know, put a race in the calendar during this period?
It's a really good point, Rick, because I find this goes one of two ways with people who enter races over the festive period. Some people enter races because they want that accountability, because they want something to look at and say, well, you know, I'm not going to go out, I'm not going to absolutely stuff myself on Christmas Day because I've got a race on Boxing Day. And it kind of gives them a little bit more of structure to their training, particularly over quite a, let's say, problematic period for a lot of families, because there's a lot going on. But then some of the results we've had with athletes in the past is when they almost enter a race and do it in a relaxed way. Oh, I'm going to go and enjoy that race over the festive period. And they go out and have an absolute stormer, and they are just so relaxed. And I think there's a bit of a lesson in that for all of us, is that sometimes we run our best races when we're at our most relaxed and when we're at our happiest. And yes, it's good to have a race on the calendar for certain people, but don't be afraid, again, just to relax, switch off. I believe the best sports performers in the world are really good at switching off when they need to and switching on when they need to. And I think there's something to be said about that when racing over Christmas.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm just thinking back to some Santa runs I've done. I think I bought too much stress for that experience, actually. It's quite stressful getting in one of those costumes anyway.
I think that there's a, you know, if you're an elite, yeah, for sure, like your training patterns are different and all stuff. But for your bog standard recreational runner, I think that Christmas is a time where you can just switch off a bit. Do you know what I mean? And as you say, get uncomfortable with doing that if you're not used to doing it. Because, you know, it's Christmas, right?
Come on.
Exactly. Yeah. If you can't go and if you can't turn up to Park Run, or you can't go and do a Boxing Day handicap, which is the runs I usually do at Christmas, and you can't do that in fancy dress, then for me, you're taking it
seriously. Yeah, exactly. Bit of a hangover. Yeah, what about Lewis? What about running with a hangover? You got any hot tips there?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because a lot of people will drink over the festive period. Hydration is just the key to that, really. Hydration and recovery. What you don't want to do is put yourself in a real hole by having a drink, being hungover, and then trying to hit a session the next day or something like that, and then really burying yourself. Particularly with, I know this is going a bit more serious, but particularly with COVID around as well, you know, you'd probably then damage your immune system. You'd be low on energy. Your chances of recovery a lot less. So for me, it's about enjoying yourself, and again, comes back to balance and perspective. Have everything in moderation. So don't go out and get absolutely trolleyed and then try and run a hard session the next day or a race, because it's probably not going to work for you. But at the same time, don't think that you can't have a drink and enjoy yourself, but just maybe think about, oh, okay, I might need to keep a bottle of water alongside my bottle of ale there to the side, or next to your glass of mulled wine.
Is this the same advice you give to your, like, obviously you coach people that are a lot better than me. Is this the advice you give across the board, or what do you tell your more elite athletes to do over this time? Have they still got hard training plans of that week?
Well, firstly, Jane, everyone can say they're better than somebody unless they're Eliud Kipchoge. So
that's true. That's true.
But yes, they do have a training plan, but I think it's really good to, again, give people a little bit of an insight into an elite athlete's world. So I coach a small group at Loughborough, some who are looking to become international athletes. One qualified for the European Cross Country, which is next weekend in Dublin. So that's brilliant. But those people as well, I still plan in. So on the 17th of December, we're having our team meal out, and we'll go out and have a few drinks and celebrate the year. And they will have a couple of days over Christmas where they travel to families and partners' families as well, because sometimes they go home and then go and see their partners' families. So they need a little bit of downtime. So that's always factored in, but it does come down to the individual. So some of them are wanting to race on the 3rd of January. That's a pretty quick turnaround after the new year. So they will have a couple of days easy, but they will get back into the swing of things pretty quickly as well, because they have to be. They've got, you know, trial races coming up. So I guess it comes down to what your aim is, what your goals are as an individual, and what you're targeting. So if you're thinking about London Marathon in October next year, then maybe you can have a bit of a better Christmas.
Yeah, lots of time. Lots of time, everyone.
So if anyone's listening to this thinking, I want to coach for 2022, big goals, where can they find out more, Lewis, about your coaching?
They can go to newlevelscoaching.co.uk, or they can follow us on Instagram or Facebook, New Levels Coaching. We have a brilliant team of coaches who've helped runners of all abilities, and as I like to say, to help them to try and find their potential. But we will only take people on if they're willing to take a day off over Christmas.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. Huge thanks to our guest, Lewis Moses, and to you, of course, for listening.
If you're looking for the perfect gift this Christmas, how about a subscription to Runner's World? Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get an exclusive listener offer of just 3 issues for £5, or find the better deal, which is like a year's worth of magazines, and it's sort of 15, 20, 30 something quid. But anyway, it's Christmas, so give the gift that keeps on giving, which is a subscription to Runner's World magazine.
And if you're looking to get Ben, Rick, or I a Christmas present, don't worry about it. Just subscribe to the Runner's World podcast on Acast, iTunes, and all your favourite podcast apps. Yeah, we'd love it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.